Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station. The Score!
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Score Overnights on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back in. We are here for you at 312-644-6767. That is the phone number. We've been covering a lot tonight here on Score Overnight, including that moment when you knew that you had lost a step in your amateur sports playing career. I've been enjoying hearing some of those stories, and we brought that up as it pertained to old Rich Hill, who was the pitcher for the Boston Red Sox tonight, that gave up the three-run homer to Andrew Vaughn Jake Berger. Jake Berger with the three-run homer in the fifth inning off of Rich Hill. And he's 42 years old, and he seems to have this. Well, he does. He does have that magical staying power, that power that we all wish we had, that we could play high-level sports in our 40s. You know, he's got that thing. He's got the Tom Brady thing. Obviously, we're talking about different levels in each respective sport. I get it, but you know what I mean, too. So he's got that thing to be, you know, Bartolo Colon kind of had that thing where they're thriving at an older age. And, you know, I don't know about being in the prime, but somehow, some way, they're still doing pretty well. And there was Rich Hill tonight, 42 years old. He threw four innings of no-hit baseball. So that's the level we're talking about here with Rich Hill, that he is at a level that is, he can go four innings in Major League Baseball at the age of 42 and not allow a hit. That's pretty good. That's pretty cool to be able to say that you could do that. But there is the factor of this spontaneous combustion too. Well, you're not going to start on fire necessarily, but like this all spontaneously crumbling as an at once you hit 42, whatever you have, you've got, okay, at 42. There's no more like slow decline. The next move is sports death. Like Rich Hill is just gonna walk off the field one day and he's not going to be able to return the next day. You know, there's no more to give, like in terms of the declining. The next step is you're done. You know, you did it. You played until you were 42, but he is on thin ice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, welcome to Icy Hut.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm sure he's graduated from Icy Hot. I mean, he was at Icy Hot like 7 or 8 years ago when he was just starting to get old. So I don't know what next level stuff Rich Hill is using. You know, I don't know. I don't know what. I mean, we know some of the illegal things that work very well to keep one spunky. You know, we know those things and maybe a needle in the buttocks. But in terms of like organic, you know, ways of playing a major sport at the age of 42, I don't know. I mean, other than coffee and eating right, I guess. I mean, if you're really going to be, I don't think a men's one a day is going to do the trick, you know? Like, you could have all the 100% calcium and zinc and all the stuff in those one a days, but that's not the trick, I don't think. I don't think that those, the fish oil pills, they're great, man. They'll keep your heart going and all that kind of stuff. But I don't think Rich Hill is popping 20 mg of fish oil, or maybe he is. But what the reason is we can't explain. But it did stimulate conversation about the end when you lose a step. And it happens to athletes, and we criticize. We don't criticize them. We point it out, and sometimes we're like gleeful about, well, he's lost a step. Yeah, that's what happened there. You could tell he lost a step, and we're just downright excited about it. But guess what? It happens to us too, and we get it worse because we're already at an amateur level. An amateur is like a nice word to use. We're already at the amateur level. So when you lose a step, when you're us, then it's like, oh, this is really going to affect everything I do. From the 773, and we'll get to your calls here in just a second. I see you guys. Tom, Ken, Kathy, you're all coming. Groats, you know what's weird? I remember being an adult when Rich Hill was a prospect. I'm 47, just getting used to feeling old like that. Yeah, that's another realm of it, like athletes that suddenly have sons. Or oh my God, if their sons retire, oh Jesus, like Robbie Alomar, oh my God, it's like getting lapped or something. So yeah, like there's all sorts of examples of like large deficits of players that are coming, like hell, man, Vladimir Guerrero's got a kid. Yeah, Vlad Guerrero Jr., he's got a son. Pretty crazy, and he's really good. But yeah, the funny part is I always thought like Vladimir Guerrero Sr. was always this young stud who could cover every single pitch in the zone, and now it's all about the kid. So that's the way life works, though. 312-644-6767. Tom is Algonquin. What's up, Tommy boy? Tom.
Mark, you there?
Tom, what's up, man?
You got the wrong Tom again. We're going to start this off again.
Wow, that's, you know what? That's Sean Sears is 0 for his last two. Now I remember the last time I worked with you, Sean. You did the wrong Kent. I mean, you did the wrong Tom. You switched the samples.
No, let's give it to, the fault to John, the new officer.
Nah, John is innocent until we prove him guilty, which maybe we'll do by the end of this segment. I don't know.
Well, it's been well worth the wait to talk to you, because I talked to a guy yesterday who I have a lot of respect for when it comes to professional football.
Yeah.
And he told me that you might be able to help us with this one. When Matt Nagy was in his rookie year,
yes,
he was one of the favorites to win Coach of the Year. This guy is 40-1.
Talk about Eberflus?
Yeah. I mean, they're not expecting much, Mark. And I they left the cupboard bare, okay? Well, they really did leave.
That's crazy, man. I thought you were talking about Matt Nagy there for a second, so I got a little bit confused.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I mean.
Eberflus, the odds for him to win are, what do you say, 60-1,
40-1. 20-1 to 40-1, depending on who you talk to. Now, that's ridiculous.
I never really thought about that, but yeah, I guess it is. Yeah, that does not portend well.
I mean, the guy you run out of the town was one of the favorites You know, but you know what I think it was, Mark, in all true respect, is that he did move up to get Trubisky. And I think the hype was bigger. I don't know. Does that make sense to you or what?
That what?
Well, when we moved up the draft Mitch,
yes.
All right, there was a lot of excitement.
Yes.
You know, when this guy took the scene, he's like, what's the right word to use there? Put it out fires?
Oh, I see what you're saying. He does not come in with something new and exciting to talk about or have or feel. Is that what you mean?
Correct.
Yeah, well, I would counter that by saying that actually Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky are in very similar scenarios as they were at different times and with different coaches, because the Bears had just been coming off of John Fox, who many thought was perhaps the reason that Mitch Trubisky never succeeded with the Bears, that he got off on the wrong foot, having to come in for Mike Glennon and then, you know, play for the defensive-minded, hat one foot into retirement, John Fox. And he has this really weird, uneven season where he had games where he threw maybe 11 times in a game because John Fox. So he was coming at it at that. And then I think Matt Nagy comes in and rejuvenates the idea of offense and the idea of Mitch Trubisky. So now we've got the same thing, Tom, happening the same year. Last year, it can be argued that it was the coaching staff that messed up Justin Fields. That on September 26th of last year, I'll never forget, at Cleveland, when Mitch Trubisky got knocked on his ass 9 times in the game. That Justin Fields got knocked down 9 times on his ass in that game. And
that was the most ridiculous game I ever seen.
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, but, I mean, that game there, we were dead before we even started.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible. So one could make that argument that it's very similar, because now you're rejuvenated because that coaching staff is long gone. The one tricky part from the perspective of Justin Fields is it's no longer his general manager, that the guys that drafted him and supposedly believed in him, also known as Matt Nagy, those cats are long gone as well. So it makes it very interesting when you look at the two quarterbacks, Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky. They're kind of coming from the same countries. Thank you very much, Tom, for the call. I am being told here at 2:10 in the morning on Score Overnight, we are live. This is a live show. I'm being told that Chris Ronji is on the phone and joins us live now on Score Overnight. Is this true, Chris Ronji?
He is?
Oh, my God, it's you. You didn't have to call.
Well, I felt like I needed to.
Oh, man.
Now it was very important to me.
I hope the tone of my text message didn't, like, read as, oh, fine, go out, like, have fun, don't worry about us on Score Overnight.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. It sounded like, no, cool, go straight to hell, Ronji. We don't need you. And I said, you know what? Good. I don't want to be a part of it. But then I decided later, like, you know what? Screw that. I want to be a part of this night. What's
you are
Mark?
Awesome. You're so cool, man. And I got to get people up to date on you from our Score Overnight audience.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah, man.
Before you say that, before you tell people how cool I am, which is clearly true, you're right. I am a great person. I am a great person. Thank you for acknowledging it.
Yes, this is a big moment for you. I am probably the first person.
No, it really is.
Yeah.
This is a big moment for me.
Right. No, I feel this for you right now.
Hey, real quick, before you get into the whole thing about whatever we're doing, who is
that's
this
your
Matt
second real
Nagy
that's your
fella?
I don't know. He's a guy. Yeah. He's this crazy guy who had this Bears house in Lake Forest. His whole house was made of Bears. So that's who he is. Yeah.
Well, I hope he didn't build a basketball court with his name on the floor. That'd be terrible.
No, that's other people.
You didn't do that?
That's other people.
Somebody else.
Matt
Nagy. I gotcha.
Oh, my God. Can you believe that? Dude, Chris, when Matt Nagy came to the Bears, we were all so bought into him.
Me too.
Hook, line, and sinker, man. I'm raising my hand right now.
And I think he's a super fella. Like, I never met him personally like you did. Yeah. I think he's probably a really great dude.
Seems like it.
And I used to tell him, when I was doing the show in St. Louis, the sports show I used to do, that doesn't matter anymore. But when I was doing that, I used to stick up for him. And I used to say, you know what? I think the problem is he just doesn't have a quarterback. And if he has the quarterback, he's probably really good, and he's limited right now in what he can do because of the quarterback, which I still think there's some truth to that. But, I believe after a period of time, we all kind of got wise to the fact that it's a little bit more than just that. It's not just he doesn't have the right quarterback. It's he might be in over his head on this particular thing. Like, he's clearly a good football coach,
right?
In a way, but probably not a good head coach, which is crazy because he's actually he appears to be a great people person. But then you hear, and I'm sure you've talked about these things already, but you hear things after the fact, like Justin Fields said the other day, the culture was a little off,
right,
or weird, or something, right?
Little clues, yeah.
Yeah, like there were little clues. So I don't think it was because he was, obviously there wasn't, like, bad intentions there. Just maybe this wasn't the right job for him now. And that's not to say he can't ever be really good at the job. And I said that, too, in the past. I was like, maybe it feels a lot to me like Matt Nagy could eventually be a good head coach.
Yeah,
and maybe his second time around, he's really good because he learned some things in the interim. Like, he learned some things after his first job. He's back working at football again. He realizes from his mistakes what he could do better. So I get the feeling that he could still be a good head coach. It just was not the right time, obviously.
I've got two predictions that I've been throwing out there occasionally that I would now like to share with you, because it definitely centers on something you were just saying about the former Bears head coach, Matt Nagy, and that is the idea of, could he be a head coach again someday? My prediction is this, and I'm on record. This was like a while ago that I said this, so we could find the tape.
Put it on tape.
Yeah, put it on tape. We got it somewheres. I predicted and continue to predict that Matt Nagy will be succeed Andy Reid as head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. I fully, wholly believe that, because they love him in Kansas City. He never did anything wrong to them. As a matter of fact, the people in Kansas City might even give Matt Nagy credit for developing Patrick Mahomes, or helping to develop Patrick Mahomes.
And they might.
Yes.
And they'll say, well, I mean, what's he supposed to do in Chicago with Trubisky? What's he supposed to do?
Yes. Oh, yes, as the years go on, especially if Trubisky is riding the pines, if he's, second or third string for the rest of his career, then that is a point in favor. And I got to believe that that is going to be the case, but that's a different topic that gets us out of my predictions. And I don't want to get too far from my predictions here, Ranji. Matt Nagy will be the next head coach of Kansas City. Andy Reid, I feel like Andy Reid could coach another 5 or 6 years, or he's like going to have a health issue and he's going to have to stop or something like that. And it just like,
why? Just out of curiosity, because I don't know a whole lot about a lot of things, but why would you think a gentleman who has 5 cheeseburgers a night might have some health issues?
Oh man,
it's a really odd thing for you to just throw out there.
Yeah, I was so worried at first you were actually going to challenge me on assuming that because he's a large man that he might have health problems, but you're with me, aren't you?
No. Why? But no, I am challenging you now.
Okay, please.
Because I don't understand how you can reach the conclusion that a man who has a chicken sandwich wrapped around two slices of beef, which are also wrapped around two more chicken sandwiches, could possibly have health problems later in life.
Those are in his front pocket. Like, he's got holsters for them. You know what I mean? They're they're all ready to go.
What brings you to this conclusion?
You're right. You know what? I'm typecasting, stereotyping.
You're not a doctor, sir.
Yeah. You're right. He just has that look, man, Andy Reid. That belly is so ready to pop, and like everything about it just looks crumbling. You know, I hate it, but it's true.
And like I'm exaggerating a little bit. I said five cheeseburgers. I think it's actually only three.
Right.
But the man has talked about this openly.
Yes.
That he eats that much.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe let's say there was an actual giant. You know, we've called people giants before, right? There was Andre the Giant.
Sure.
There are people who we just assume that they're big, right?
Right.
But let's say there was a 15-foot tall person.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. Like, that thing might have to actually eat five cheeseburgers just to sustain itself.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I guess it's possible that Andy Reid is just so big that he has to eat that much just to keep
moving. He's got to maintain.
Right.
That's his maintenance.
Right.
Three burgers.
Right.
And you're good to go, man. You're good.
let's be honest here. If you're driving around in a Tacoma, you need more fuel than, you know, somebody driving around in a Prius.
Right.
Right? You just need.
Yeah. That's
a greater
true.
Volume of
it's
fuel.
It's going to cost you $90 to fill that tank instead of 40 or 50, right? That's
exactly.
Fact.
Well, five cheeseburgers is more than one. Yeah.
Right. And then to the other side of it too, the sad part is that, okay, man, we know that this is your bit and it's pretty funny and everybody loves the jolly man who eats the burgers, and we want to hear that. We like our fat people talking about food. We like that
until
in America.
They die.
That's not really cute anymore. If you're actually doing that, just as an aside, if you're actually consuming three burgers a day, maybe one burger.
Well, wait, aren't
a week.
Hold on, Mark. Aren't there actual people who have witnessed it?
Oh, I mean, on a daily basis, though. I mean, well, that's true. Are you saying that it's been reported, or like we could find out?
I don't know. I thought it's been reported, but maybe not.
That he actually eats the three burgers every single day of his life. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, somebody needs to sit him down and be like, this is not cute. Like, it's cute. It is cute, actually. But we actually would prefer that you lived. And one of these it goes back to what I was talking about, Rich Hill. He's 42. One of these days, he's not going to come back the next day. You know, he's not going to die. But one of these days.
You were talking about Rich Hill. Did I miss that conversation?
Well, not with you, Chris. This was before on Score. I just assumed you listened to every minute of Score overnight.
No. Here's what happened.
Okay.
Here's what happened. I got to the moment where I was done doing the thing that I was doing earlier.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, yeah, I forgot about Mark. I'll call Mark.
I did not expect this. Yeah, I tried to get him on earlier, and you're right. Chris said I'm probably going to be out. I was like, have fun, bro. And here he is calling.
I'm going to tell a story right now. Grody, and I'm not going to name the specific guy.
Oh, shoot.
But this happened, and it happened probably 11 years ago, 10 to 11 years ago, somewhere in that range.
You're going to tell us a story, a real-life story about something that
happened. No, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about something I witnessed.
I witnessed
with my own eyes
11 years ago, and you're not going to name names. Okay.
No. It was a Cubs pitcher.
I didn't know we were going here already. All right. I got my antenna up on the
pitcher.
Player. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to say who it was.
Okay,
I'm not going to give you the exact year.
Right, because then I would know it was Kyle
because he
Farnsworth.
Seems like a
yeah.
Or whoever. Well, I will say this: it was not Kyle Farnsworth.
Oh wow! Okay,
that's all I'm going to tell you. It was not Kyle Farnsworth.
Okay,
no,
sick.
It was not all him.
Right.
It was a different Cubs pitcher.
Okay,
at the time.
Okay,
so I was at a bar because I like bars. You know, bars are fun. That's where you meet people and you know you form new relationships and you learn things about other people.
Amen.
And different walks of life. Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm a social guy.
Right, you're like every bar that you go to is like Cheers. It's like, oh, there's Chris, and we're all gonna talk about deep stuff. That's you. You're like you actually use bars the way they do in TV shows and movies. Congratulations, Chris.
Yeah, it's where I present all of the papers that I wrote when I was a PhD candidate.
Okay,
just, you know, yeah, I was not ever a PhD candidate. That's not true.
Well,
so
you should have just rolled with it because that would actually be believable with you for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I don't want to be a liar.
Okay.
I don't want to be a liar.
No.
So
learn to lie, Chris.
Learn to lie.
If I can teach you anything in your next venture, learn to lie.
No. I'm not a liar.
Okay.
Okay. So here's what happened. I'm at this bar. It closes, and there's a bar across the street that's open later. So I go to that bar with friends. I didn't want to go. I wanted to go home and go to bed. But they refused to go home and go to bed.
Oh, right. So you're like,
so
okay.
I was out. I went out, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm at this place, and this Cubs pitcher is there. And this bar used to serve food, like, really late. Like, you know, 3, 4, like, until the place closed to, like, 3, 4 in the morning.
I know the type.
So, yeah, you know the type. So he gets the food, and they usually would bring it to you in a bag with, you know, like in a container, then in a bag.
Okay.
And I guess he decided instead of eating it there that he was going to he was going to take it home. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of taking it home, he decided he was going to eat it there.
Okay.
And he's by himself. As far as I can tell, he's by himself.
Yeah.
And I'm watching the dude across the bar cause I knew who it was. And I think other people knew who it was too. So he had bought, like, nachos.
Okay.
It was either nachos or, like, nacho fries. You know how nacho fries, they put cheese on the fries?
Sure.
It was that. So he opens up the to-go container, and he starts to eat them. And he, like, you know, when you're eating nachos, they can sometimes become a glob.
Oh, right? Yeah. I love the glob, right? They're soft,
the glob
right?
The best.
Yeah, I love the glob.
Well, but not when you're eating it in a bar in front of people and you drop the glob on the bar.
Yeah,
so
true.
he dropped the glob on the bar.
He
picked up what he dropped and he ate it. Like, okay, kind of gross, whatever, he ate it.
Okay.
But then this dude, Mark.
Oh boy.
He leans over and he licks the cheese off the bar.
Oh no!
Yes, this happened, and I
was he doing it like aggressively as a way to satiate his hunger, or was he doing it to make a spectacle of himself?
I don't know. I think he just wanted to not waste the cheese.
That's what I mean. I feel like it was probably a natural aggressive. I'm still hungry. I'm not letting that cheese go. Like he wasn't trying to be a jerk. He was trying to consume the rest of his meal.
I think he was hungry.
Yeah.
And he kind of forgot for a minute he was with people.
Right. Not letting the glob go. Can't let the glob go.
He licked it right out of the bar. Well, I mean, you can, if you have any sort of self-respect, you can you could say, you know what, that's a glob of cheese that I've wasted.
I'm trying to get in his head.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get in his head. I want there to be some rational reason why one would eat a glob of cheese and nacho stuff off of a dirty bar.
Off a dirty late night bar.
A bar that stays open until 4 a.m., right? This is what we're talking about here, whatever hour
that's
it
is. Right.
But there's always a couple bars. Everybody knows those bars in little corners of the city where You go in and you get to stay as long as you'd like.
That's right.
Really what it comes down to. Right, right.
Yeah.
And your night may be enhanced and it may be rejected. It one of the two, you know. It's got to happen. It's a game of failure, really.
This bar is open until tomorrow, which means it really is never closed.
Right. It's never closed.
Do you know about key clubs? Are you familiar with these?
No. No idea what you're talking about.
I don't know if they still exist, but I've been to them. There are places in the city that are called key clubs that you have to be a member, and they don't close ever.
Oh,
and you don't know
they're
open. Like you have to have like a maybe you have like a fob or something. You have to be a member of the place, and then you can go in and
It's like a 24-hour bar for clubs.
Yes. Yes.
That's very interesting. So it's like a country club. It's like a country club almost, right?
Yeah.
Like that would be a good comp, right, Chris?
That's correct.
Okay.
Except it probably doesn't cost nearly as much. And you don't play golf.
So wait a minute. Have you ever been to one of these? Be honest.
I have. I've been to one.
What was it like?
And you leave it. And I left it. I remember leaving and it was daylight. And I thought, this is messed up.
Oh,
like I don't mind staying out late, but this is messed up.
You know what this reminds me of? What's that Tom Cruise movie that he does with his ex-wife?
Vanilla Sky.
No, not Vanilla Sky.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut. Thank you. Like where they go to that special club. Now, I'm not saying all that was going on, but it seems like that, like it's this made-up cult almost.
Yeah, I didn't see Eyes Wide Shut, but there wasn't a whole lot of spanking and whacking going on. I don't know what was going on in that movie, but there wasn't any of that in this bar. It was just like a bar. It was like an it was a bar that was
You wouldn't have known it was there. It didn't actually have like a different feel to it than other bars. I mean, it's interesting if that's the case. I would have felt
it
doesn't.
Like
wow,
it felt like a dive. Like
wow, but
bar.
But you had
cool.
to show you had to show like a special key or ID,
right.
and you pay
but
monthly
was,
to get in.
I was with a member of the law enforcement community who knew the people. So
okay,
I went in with them. Yeah,
wow, that is just wild. I did not know. I mean, like I'm not like naive to think something. Oh my God, that could never. But it just blows me away that's such an interesting idea. Like, and definitely one that at one point in my life I'd be very interested in knowing more about. Where can I sign up? Kind of thing. You know.
I don't know, but I'm starting to think now that maybe I gave out a secret that shouldn't have been given out. So I hope that I have not done that.
Yeah, you didn't give any addresses. As long as you didn't give an address,
no, I didn't give an address.
No, it doesn't matter then. All you said was
and I don't live there anymore. So what are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do about
Right. Just for people who don't know, Chris lives in St. Louis. Find him.
Me.
Yeah, you can
there are only
guy.
Three blocks in St. Louis. I'm on one of them.
All right, dude. So we're up against a break, so I want to at least talk about your new venture. Chris Ranji will not be doing any more Score Overnight, I don't think, unless there's some little thing going on, like a Ranji Wednesday or something.
Yeah. No, what I meant to say was, oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Like, there could be some times where I'm on the station. Like, that's part of the thing where if you know, the Score needs me for something and the time works out, I can fill in.
Yeah.
But, there's no more overnights for me.
Okay. Tough guy.
I hardly knew you. You're all very nice.
Yes. And is there anything else you want to say to the Score Overnight audience before we get a little more detailed on what's next for Chris Ranji? Is there anything else you'd like to say, Chris?
Yeah, I miss you. Stop calling me.
Oh, man. All right, there it is.
Yeah.
There it is. That's so Chris is signing off from Score Overnight, which is understandable.
Yes.
Considering the next venture that Chris will be partaking in. Chris is going to the mighty KMOX radio in St. Louis, Missouri. That is what KMOX is to St. Louis. Well, I don't want to do that, actually. That
analogy. Yeah, I know what you're trying to say. Yeah,
you know what I was going to say.
On the same page. But I'm like, yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm on the radio here. So we're all on the same page. But anyway, it's a kick-ass radio station.
It's like
station.
That other place if a certain baseball team didn't leave it.
There you go. You know? Exactly. Now we hold the glory here at Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
That's correct. You do.
But anyway, so you're going to this great heritage station in St. Louis, KMOX, and you will be co-host of a midday show. Is that correct, Chris? The time of the show?
Yeah, yeah. It's a midday show. There's very little sports. It'll be a general talk kind of thing. We'll get into the news of the day. You know, there'll probably be some politics. Going to be some like just more lighthearted stuff, and then we'll do a very little sports. But it'll be fun. I like the two people I'm working with. They're good people. They're smart. They are educated. They pay attention to what's going on in the world. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Dude, that's so cool, man. I feel like your Twitter game over, like, let's say the last 2 years has definitely suggested that you might need a different type of platform to express all of your Chris Ronjiness.
2 years? It's been like 15.
That's true. I guess I mark it as, when was the last year you did White Sox baseball?
Oh, 2015?
Yeah, because you sort of were released from the shackles of being sort of part of a team, like that whole thing. And so I felt like your Twitter game got a little twisted and hilarious, and you know what I mean? Like very, very, very serious, like political stuff, like that the Ronj gets in. I know where you land on issues, and you're pretty good at it. So this is like led you up to this. So I think that's pretty cool, man. It's I have always, like, a lot of part of my career, one of my favorite parts was when I worked in Springfield and I was a news reporter and I hosted a show, probably midday show, in Springfield, Illinois, obviously tiny market, but I was hosting a show every day about news and entertainment and politics, and it was a blast. I miss sports when I did that, but it's fun when you could stretch your legs a little bit and do all that, right, man?
Yeah, that's great. Because now when people tell me to stick to sports, I can say, no, dummy, I can't because I'll be fired. Like, I have to not.
I wonder if you're going to have to be careful not to be too sportsy now. You know what I mean? Like, for real.
Well, I mean, like, well, no, there are three of us, and we're pretty good about, we've already gone through a whole process of talking about the things we'd like to talk about on a daily basis. So we all know where we stand. It'll be good.
Okay. Yeah. I just, maybe I'm just like putting
Kevin
myself.
Kevin and Amy are great. Yeah. And you can all, instead of listening to Mark, you can listen to the Odyssey app. It's there.
Fine. It is.
Actually, it's a totally different time. Totally different time. Doesn't matter. Won't interfere.
Texter Mitch asks, why is Ronji on my station? Stay out of Score business.
Still, he's been pulling this card for 12 years. I think when I worked there every day, he was like, stay out of Score business. I'm like, I live here. What do you want from me? He's been doing
your
this
pregame
forever.
Show, man. Remember, you hired me to do the pregame show way back when? Yeah.
He said, like, stay out of White Sox business. Like, you want me to not go to the ballpark? I can't. Not go there.
That's my full-time job.
All right, Grody, you're filling in.
Yeah, yeah. Where's, I don't know. Let's see. Where's Esposito? Get Esposito in there.
What's Esposito? What's Espo doing?
Yeah, call Espo.
Go back and do your little overnight show.
Yeah, I'm going to. All right. Yeah, how dare you. All right, Chris, look. Congratulations. I think
Thanks.
That's fantastic. It's really, really cool, actually. So go crush it. And I know that I'll probably be on your show at some point in time, and you'll be back on one of my shows. That's just the way we work. Yes. So no need for a long emotional goodbye. So get out of here and talk to you later. Bye.
Get lost, Mark.
See you, Chris. That is bye. He's gone. You can turn him off now. Turn off Ranji. No, I was gonna say he's been on the station twice today, but today is a new day. And the overnight conversation can be a little different than the midday conversation just because of our time and the topics that one might discuss on an overnight show. But that's so cool. Chris going to KMOX and getting to do some news talk style, which is pretty fantastic. And he's got the personality to do it. And I do hope that that show kicks ass and they succeed and all that kind of stuff. Doesn't affect me, you know. 312-644-6767. I'm Mark Grody. It is Score Overnight. We will be back.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Score Overnight on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
All right. I love the text at the top of the screen after my conversation with Chris Ranji, who we are releasing back into the wild. The wild of St. Louis. The top text says, always liked you better, Grody, but I'm going to miss Ranji. And I would only read that if it was Chris Ranji. Always liked you better, Grody, but I'm going to miss Ranji. Thanks. I feel like we both got a little kiss on the cheek right there from that texter. That was absolutely wonderful. Hey, there's Grody people. There's Ranji people. There are Grody / Ranji people, but you know, we are different. You know, people like to throw us into the same bowl and mix us around, but there's a difference. You know, Ranji, we do have a similar conversational style and humor in some ways, but in some ways it's very different too. So, you know, he's Chris Ranji and I'm Mark Grody. And we are taking your calls at 312-644-6767. And before we started talking to Ranji, bless a couple of our callers for hanging in there with us, for maybe just listening and loving listening, loving listening to Ranji. That could have been the case. But Ken is still here for us, and Ken is in Minnesota, I do believe. Hi, Ken. Thanks for waiting. You're on the Score. Ken? Hello, Ken. Oh, Ken, please be there. I did a huge build-up to bringing you on, and now it's not happening. So, Ken? Ken, I know you're there. Ken, pick up! Ken, pick up the phone! Oh, man, after that long build-up, to thanks for waiting and being there. Maybe you were listening to Chris Ranji doing that. Well, no, apparently not. Nothing like that is happening. There was a moment last night in the Cubs game that I found very Cubs lost to the Reds last night 4-3. There's actually a lot of interesting stuff that we'll get into, and we have audio for, and specifically the late inning flim flam, fling flang, whatever was going on with Joey Votto and Rowan Wick. And it was almost really, the whole thing turned out to be pretty hilarious, I think. Their little jawing back and forth, which again, we will get into. And David Ross was ejected in that game. That was all, like, there was some sexy stuff in this Cubs game late in the game just to watch and be interested in and then anticipate the post game for. So all of that is in there. I was listening to the first couple innings, or at least the first inning. I don't remember the exact extent. I was listening on the Score. I was out and about running errands, and I had my earbuds in, listening to Pat, Rod, and Zach. And there is something that has been going on this year with one of the Cubs' prominent players, Seiya Suzuki, that has been going on this year with his appearances at the plate. And it sounded like a little bit relative to boiling over in a real circumstance. It sounded like Pat Hughes and moreover Ron Cooper are ready to just really call this out, what has been going on with Seiya Suzuki at the plate. Take a listen to Pat and Ron on the Score yesterday.
No score, one away, a man at first. Seiya Suzuki, the batter. He gets his first look at Luis Castillo and takes a strike, 0-1.
Wow. That first pitch, you know, that see, that's what I mean for Suzuki. I'm telling you, that pitch is two balls off the plate inside. That pitch isn't even close. and that's strike one. And that changes your whole at-bat. And now you're on the defensive if you're Suzuki.
He takes down low. It seems to be a recurring thing, Ron. The umpires have, for whatever reason, seem to have called a lot of pitches out of the zone, strikes against him. What recourse does he have? What can he do?
I think you got to say something every now and then. You've got to speak up for yourself in the game. You know, and I know he's new in the league and all that, but, you know, I'm just seeing it over and over and over, and I'm not a big arguer. I never was.
Fastball strike at the knees. That's his best pitch so far. That was 96.
But there comes a time where when you're an elite player and you come to our league from another country, and I guarantee you he's in the top two or three, maybe four guys that have had more pitches called out of the zone against him than anybody else in the league. That's a lot.
It's 1-2 on Suzuki. Holds that bat out in front of him. He hits one in the air, shallow right, racing in Aquino. Aquino cannot get there. It's a base hit. Racing to third is Morrell, and he's in there with a slide. Great hustle, great instincts by Morrell. He gets to third on a bloop single by Suzuki. Cubs have men at first and third, one away, and here comes Ian Happ.
I thought it was a nice touch. I wanted to leave the actual base hit of Suzuki on that. And again, that is Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer, you know, being about as adamant as you're going to hear network broadcasters in terms of an overall criticism of what is going on, apparently, with umpires and Seiya Suzuki. And, you know, it seems like a small thing and a small little takeaway from the game, but it's not small because you are expecting big things from Seiya Suzuki relative to his talents, relative to what you are paying him. And if he is working at some disadvantage, at some handicap that is so egregious that Ron Coomer and Pat Hughes are spending minutes talking about it during, you know, the early innings of a baseball game, it's that it rises to that. And as you know, as Ron said, when you don't have the proper strike zone on a consistent basis, it changes your whole perspective, is out of whack at the plate. And he is working from an exact disadvantage to where it's like, yeah, you go up there, it's like California rules. You get two strikes. And I think that was California rules, right? Even like a fouled strike is a third strike still in softball. But I'm going to try not to conflate California-style softball at this point, because I think that is going on, and I would like to hear, I hope that the Cubs have made, you know, gone through the proper channels to make a complaint about something like that. I mean, that's big. That needs to be, like, brought to the attention. It doesn't have to be splattered all over Twitter. You know, Ron and Pat did it in a very classy way. But I think that's something that, hey, here's what's going on. Here's the video. Here is where the K-zone was. Here's where Seiya Suzuki is. And this is the result. Oh, he grounded out again. A defensive swing, and he struck out. Called looking third strikes. Remember when he was going through all those? So it just makes you like want to go back and play detective on all of that with Seiya Suzuki to see where it has affected him and affected a Cubs game. But at the very least, that sounds like something that is A, very fixable, B, should have been fixed already. Like it's too many games into the season now. Now we're, you know, 45, whatever it is, games into the season. That's too late. Like, if there's a, you know, a guy getting four at-bats a day over 47 games, that's a lot. You've seen enough, and if there is a trend, then it has to stop. Then it has to be taken away and just gonzo tomorrow. And like I said, I don't think it would be that difficult. But I just thought that was interesting that came up and how passionate they were about it. And I kind of knew that I maybe just had heard something, and the overall I had really hadn't read into or investigated much until today on that. But I knew that Seiya Suzuki was going through a tough period where he was getting called out on strikes more than, you know, the regular K's. So, but now this brought it back into the front of my mind when Ron Coomer and Pat Hughes talked about it on the Score today. The Cubs did lose the game. 4-3 was the final score. It ends what was a 3-game winning streak for the Cubs after their 11-4 win on Tuesday. So the Cubs right now 18-25. Let's just call it 10 and a half games out of first place. That's about where they are. Let's just call it. Imagine if that's what the updates were like back in the day. And the Cubs right now say about 12 and a half games out of first place today. So that's what it looks like. But no, the Cubs are actually 9.5 games out. And obviously those are numbers that are not worthy of you hearing every day. Now the Cubs are 18-26. Now they're 8.5. If it starts to get interesting, then that's where we come to the rescue. But every once in a while, I like to just give the full, just so you know, the Cubs are about where you think they'd be. Like, if you weren't paying that much attention, but just enough to know they were a losing team this year. 18-25, 9.5 games out. That's what the Cubs look like. Cubs look like an 18-25 team that is 9.5 games out of first place. That's exactly the way they play baseball. Kyle Hendricks yesterday just was a victim of Joey Votto. Hendricks lasted 4 innings, allowed 4 runs, 5 hits, 1 strikeout, 1 walk, 68 pitches. Is all Hendricks threw in this game. But Joey Votto had a 2-run triple. He also had a home run in the game. So those were the key hits for Cincinnati, came off the vintage bat of Joey Votto. Ian Happ had a 2-run double for the Cubs. Nico Horner did have an RBI single in the 9th inning, but the Cubs, their little 9th inning rally was stunted when Christopher Morel had runners on the corners and he done struck out and the game is over. And guess what? We are actually not that far away from another Cubs game, because the Cubs and Reds play today, Thursday, at 11:35 Chicago time. So it's 11 o'clock pregame here on the Score. So going to be one of those weird days where all of a sudden it's like 3 o'clock and the Cubs already won today. There's a final score in. What's going on? Oh, they play. Oh, when did they? Okay. So that's what's going to happen tomorrow to many sports fans. Justin Steele is pitching for the Cubs and he's become interesting, hasn't he? He struck out 9 or more in his last 2 games. All right. Do it again, Justin Steele. Could he be on to something? And that is, let's see. This is the team to do it against. That's for sure. I don't know if the Reds have another 4 runs in them. You know, I think that Joey Votto, that's what you're not going to keep getting that from. How old's he? You know, speaking of Rich Hill, in 42, I bet Joey Votto is what, 39, 40? So if he's not already 40, maybe he's going on 41. So, yeah, the Votto. He should just enjoy it, he may not even play. He had to run all the way to third at one point. So, yeah, I don't think they got another 4 runs in them today, do the Reds. I think the Cubs will win this game. Justin Steele will strike out like 13, because why would you care if you're the Reds on that day? Why would you care? You're leaving town. You're 13. You've won 13 games. You're not trying on Thursday. It's not happening. Maybe young Hunter Green, their rookie pitcher, will be trying, but I don't know that the rest of the team's going to have his back in this one necessarily. These are, veteran players too. They're just thinking about getting on that plane and you know, having a cocktail and getting the hell out of Cincinnati and thinking about where I'm going to sign next year. So that's how the Cubs-Reds game is going to go on Thursday. But it is, again, an 11 o'clock broadcast right here on 670 The Score. Cubs lost yesterday. White Sox win. They beat the Red Sox 3-1. We'll continue to talk about both. I got so much Bears stuff I want to talk about as well. And we'll pick one next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.